this week is the reality of all the different fees that all have to be paid for all the different programs. I know if everyone else is feeling that pinch right now, just the, okay, where you see the paycheck come in and it's kind of right back out. It's amazing how fast that happens, isn't it? But you know, one of the things that that happens when we get to that point of feeling the pinch, maybe we could say, is that we start to feel a little more stress about things like finances, about our time. And this fall, one of the things we're doing is starting off talking about finding calm in the chaos, because sometimes our life can feel a little bit chaotic in a whole bunch of different ways. Last week, we talked about worry and the stresses we feel, and this week, we're continuing to talk about finding the calm in our chaos of our finances. When we're feeling that stress, that anxiety, the stresses, the chaos of our financial situation, how do we deal with that? How do we find calm? How do we allow God to help bring calm in the midst of the chaos of our financial situation? Now, you may not believe me that finances cause stress. So, for those of you who may be unconvinced, I asked John Petko if he would mind sharing with us a few stats this morning just about financial situation, particularly in Canada, but just some of the stuff we may be facing. So, John, why don't you lay it out there for us?
Well, Dave, they say money talks, but for most of it, all it ever says is goodbye. there's millions of baby boomers approaching retirement age. But the amazing thing is, many of them still have a mortgage on their house and maxed out credit cards. Mm-hmm. But an even a more amazing stat is that many of them are counting on a lottery win or an inheritance to bail them out of their mess.
Wow.
Yeah. Way back in 1963, that's not that long ago, about the time they were thinking of building this church, I was earning $75 a week selling bread for 19 cents a loaf. A $50 bill would buy you 263 loaves of bread.
Wow.
Now, one of these fancy vinyl $50 bills will buy you maybe a dozen loaves of bread.
Yeah.
So what happened? What happened? Inflation happened. And inflation is brought about by government debt. I'll just get my stats out here. Our Canadian national debt is $612 billion. That works out to about $17,500 for every man, woman, and child in the country. Our BC provincial debt is $63 billion, about $13,700 for every person in the province. That adds up to more than $31,000 a person, or about $125,000 for your typical family of four.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
I didn't realize I was in debt quite that much.
Could you pay back your share?
Not today.
Okay. There's not much we can do, about how the government manages the money they take away from us. But we have total control of how we manage our own net incomes. So how are we doing? Not very well. Last year, Canadians spent $1.65 for every dollar they earned. Do the math. It doesn't work. 14% of family income is spent on servicing debt, and that does not include their mortgage debt. Average consumer debt is $30,000 per person, mostly for car loans and credit cards, buying stuff we can't afford. That's the news.
So I hope everyone's feeling encouraged on that note. Thanks, John. I mean that sincerely as well as a little facetiously, actually. That's ouch. So if you weren't feeling stressed before you came to church, how are you doing now? We are. So first we had to establish the chaos, but we're going to work towards the calm. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, we will get there, I hope. Because Jesus, last week we talked about how to find calm in the midst of our worry, and we're continuing on with that. And so just to quickly set the stage for the text we're going to look at today, when Jesus addresses our financial situation, the text we're going to look at immediately precedes what we read last week. Okay, so this is very much connected with Jesus' talk on worry, which seems appropriate, especially today. And we appreciate that, John. So the context, again, same as last week, what we talked about is that Jesus is in the midst of a long sermon talking about two different kingdoms, two different ways to live, two different realities we can live in. One, the kingdom of the world, and doing things the way the world tells us to do it. Okay, and right now the world tells us, go get in debt because cheap debt's available to you. Right? It's okay to be in debt up to your eyeballs because it's cheap. Don't worry about it. No big deal. That's one example of the way our world is living. The other kingdom is the kingdom of God. And Jesus is teaching on how to live in the kingdom of God. And he talks about how these two kingdoms are not just vastly different in terms of how we live, but what we will experience in them. And so last week we talked about do not worry, because don't worry about your life. Rather, seek first the kingdom of God, because he's going to take care of all your needs for your life. Okay? If you're constantly obsessing about what you need for your life, things are going to be rough. If you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, he's going to take care of all the other stuff, and you don't need to worry. Okay? But he also talks to us about how to deal specifically with our finances in seeking out God's kingdom in the midst of this conversation, and how we can actually find peace and calm in the midst of what feels like a lot of chaos when it comes to our personal finances. So, we're going to be reading this text. Before we do that, we're just going to open in prayer, and then we'll read the words of Jesus together this morning. And so, God, we thank you that you care about all of us. Every part of our life, every part of what we do, you care deeply about who we are. You care deeply about the challenges we face in life. And, Lord, we know that you love us and you want us to live free. So now that I think we're all kind of feeling a little bit stressed this morning about finances, Father, we pray that you would show us how we can live free and with calm in the midst of this chaos. Show us your way, the way of the kingdom of God, that allows us to live in freedom and not bound up by our finances. And Lord, I just pray that your word is the word that'll be heard here this morning, because your word is the word that brings life, not mine. So may we hear your words today to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, Jesus talking about our treasures, our finances, all the stuff we have. Here we go. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Or some translations would say mammon, which is a little broader to all our material stuff. Okay? You cannot serve both God and money. A few things I want you to notice before we really dive into some of the specifics of this text. First one is this. Notice that money is not evil. Jesus does not say money is all bad, so get rid of it as quickly as you can. Doesn't say that. However, money is something that can begin to control us. Money is something that can take over and become something that we end up serving. It can master us. Money is not evil, but it can master us. Second thing, investing and storing up is not bad. In fact, if you read through some of the parables of Jesus, he talks about this, and he talks about in the parables how God is like a master who goes away and leaves some things for his servants to tend to, some money for them to care for while he's away. And the ones who invest it and receive a return on it are blessed when the master returns, and the one who does nothing with it and receives nothing in return for it is condemned by the master, and what's given to him was taken away and then given to one of the ones who invested well. So investing is not bad. In fact, investing is good. But what we need to understand in the investing is who actually owns everything. God is the owner. You are a steward of what he gives you for a time. Ultimately, the master is the one who owns everything. You and I, we're stewards of what he's entrusted to us for a time. Okay? There's an ownership issue here that we got to get. But investing and storing up what the master has given is not bad, but it's important where we invest it. Okay? So, let's talk about what Jesus says about where we invest this stuff. Because that's how he starts off this text, right? He starts off with, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Don't store up for yourselves a whole bunch of temporary treasures. Don't store up for yourself a whole bunch of stuff that can be destroyed by moths and vermin and rust and rocks. See, we were driving down to Vancouver this summer. And we just had our windshield replaced. You know, we had been really careful with our windshield for years, right? Every rock chip we got it filled to just take care of it, make sure we could make this thing last as long as possible. It was the stock windshield in the vehicle. We wanted to keep it. But there was that one chip that hit where we couldn't see it. You know what happened, right? And then you didn't get it filled, and it ran. And anyways, then we got a bunch more rock chips because we didn't worry about it after that. Because... what's the point? Anyways, we finally got one, and it ran right across where we, like, the line of sight. And so we're like, okay, we actually have to get this windshield replaced. So we took it in at the start of the summertime, had it replaced, because we figured, let's get through the spring when they're clearing off all the roads and all the sand and whatever's off the roads. We got it replaced. First road trip down to Vancouver. And the roads looked nice and clear, and out of nowhere, bam! Right? Of course. And it wasn't one of those nice, like, little chips that you go, oh, yeah, they can fix that. No. Instantly spidered, right? And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding. We just fixed it. Stuff doesn't last. It just doesn't last. The stuff that we replaced here, I was like, this is a nice, brand new, shiny, beautiful windshield. I can see out of it clearly. It's not pitted. This is fantastic. Boom. It doesn't last. And the stuff that doesn't break, typically, is going to become obsolete, right? I was actually looking through a list of things that have become or are becoming obsolete within the last decade. So here's just a couple examples for you. VCRs. Has anyone actually tried to watch a VHS tape on your HD TV? It's a horrible experience. Like, it just looks awful. And then I think, man, I used to love watching movies on my little 13-inch Sony Trinitron movie with my VCR. And now it feels awful. But VCRs are going the way of the dinosaur. So is film. Incidentally, for any of you who are maybe under 30, film was a thing that you used to put in a device called a camera. And the camera wasn't actually something that was built into a phone, but it was a separate device. And you'd put this thing called film in there, and then you close it up, and you take pictures, and you couldn't see what the picture was right away. It was so weird. Like, you couldn't see it. You'd actually have to take all 24 pictures that would fit on a film, or 12 or 36, depending, and then you would take it down to a place like London Drugs, and like a week later, you'd go pick it up, and then you'd actually see what you took pictures of. Did you guys know that actually happened? So anyways, but film, how many people actually develop with film anymore? Yeah, it's kind of gone. Fax machines. We unloaded ours at the church a couple years ago because all we were getting was advertisements for trips. So we got rid of it because no one's using it anymore. Landlines are starting to go away because most people now, if they're moving or changing things, now they don't renew a landline. They just keep their cell phone. CDs. Everything's going streaming. Encyclopedias. Do you guys remember Encyclopedia Salesman? Collier's, Encyclopedia Britannica. It was this big war for a while. Now what do? Thank you. You Google it. You got a question? Even stuff that's brand new. So just this month, the iPhone 7 was released. And I'm a tech junkie and I like Apple, so hate me if you want. It's okay. But they released the iPhone 7, all kinds of new bells and whistles. But in 3 years, that thing's going to be obsolete. Right now, it looks pretty flashy and new. But in just a couple of years, it'll be all replaced. Stuff doesn't last. And if it's not breaking down, getting broken, becoming obsolete, we're worried about it getting stolen. I think it was a year and a half ago, and I'm trying to remember that maybe 2 years ago. When did I get my new bike? I was trying to remember. I think it's 2 years ago. Bought myself a new bike. I'd had the same bike. Well, I got in a bike when I was 15 years old. Mountain bike, Norco Kokanee, loved it. Got stolen a year later. Someone broke into our house. Got it replaced by insurance. So I had the same bike now since I was 16 until I was 39. Now I just gave away my age. Oh, well. Until I was 39. And I decided, you know what? 23 years, this bike has done really well, but I'd like something of an upgrade. So I went, I saved up for a while, went when it was on sale, got myself a nice brand new bike, disc brakes, it's got the shocks on the front, it's fantastic, it's a beautiful bike to ride. And you know what? I ride it less. I don't ride it when I go out to study over at Starbucks or ride it down to the hospital to go to a hospital visit, partly because I'm worried about it getting stolen. I wasn't particularly worried about a 23-year-old bike that kind of looked a little beat up and rusted on the post for the seat and stuff like that actually getting stolen. Now I'm worried about it. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Don't store up for yourself temporary treasures. It's not evil to invest here, but Jesus is just saying, listen, it just doesn't work. Just doesn't work. If you really want to store up and invest for something that's going to last, you got to do something a little differently. So don't store up for yourself temporary treasures, but store up for yourselves instead treasures that will actually last. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and vermin and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. This is where stuff will last. This is where stuff is actually secure, more secure than any bank or underwear drawer you can think of. This is where your investment is actually safe. Now, in this text, you may recall when we read this earlier that at the end of this, Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money. There's another place he talks about that and actually uses that same phrase, and it comes with a parable he tells of a manager who he commends, and it's kind of a weird story if you've ever read it. Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story of a manager who's going to get fired from his job because the master's been evaluating his performance and says, you've been dishonest, so you can't be my manager any longer. So the manager, on his last day of work, decides to go out to all the people who owe his master money and cut their debt. Right, so the one who owes him a whole bunch of olive oil, he goes and says, you know what, you owe him like 900 barrels, let's make it 450. And the one that owes him a bunch of bushels of wheat, you know, it was 800, let's make it 600, let's cut that down your debt. And he's commended by the master, which sounds really weird because it's like he stole from his master, but he's being commended. You see why it's weird? But the point Jesus makes is, the people of this world are more shrewd than the people of the kingdom of God. They actually use the things they've been given to gain an advantage, to get something that will benefit them. And he's saying, listen, so use what you have here, invest it, so that you will be welcomed one day into heavenly dwellings. Be shrewd with what you have here, invest it well, so that one day it will have a heavenly benefit for you. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, a place where it actually will last. Two ways of living, two kingdoms. Kingdom of the world says, basically, there's nothing really beyond this life, so eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're going to die. Use what you have here, spend more, actually spend $1.60 on every dollar you bring in, to get as much as you possibly can. Because as the bumper sticker says, he who dies with the most toys wins. Right? That's our way of doing things. Or, Jesus is saying there's another way to do it. The way in the kingdom of God is to not spend everything we have for what we can get here and now, but actually to invest it for a future return that will be secure and safe and stable. And the outcome of these two things is drastically different. When we're constantly investing in all the things that this earth has to offer, when we're always looking at temporary things, ultimately, it's going to cause more stress and worry in our life. When we end up investing for the kingdom of God, and we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things are going to be taken care of. And we find that the worry begins to melt away. So Jesus encourages us to invest in God's kingdom because there's actually lasting value. It's something that will last, not just something that's temporary. That's why he wants us to invest there. But it's also because finances are bigger than just finances. Finances are an indicator of your heart. Finances are an indicator of our hearts. He uses an illustration where he says, he talks about the eyes, and it's just kind of this weird little statement he makes about the eyes being, if they're full of light and they're healthy, then the inside's full of light, and if they're unhealthy, then the inside's dark. And if, you know, the inside's dark, how great that darkness. In the same way, finances are like the eyes. They're the indicator of what's going on inside. How we use what we have is an indicator of what's going on in our heart. And Jesus says it pretty directly when he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to know what someone's values and priorities are, look at their bank statement. I'd like to sugarcoat that for you a little bit, but Jesus kind of just says it, right? What we spend and where we spend it is an indicator of what's going on inside. And in that context, he says you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. It's going to be one or the other. If your priority is always on accumulating stuff and making sure you have all the stuff you want and trying to keep it secure and have the best security system and do all these things, that is ultimately where your heart is at. And that is what you will serve. And you may know how much you serve that when the credit card bill comes and you go, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. Maybe we'll make minimum payment again this month. Maybe we'll pay for it with a different credit card. And you start to feel how money has become your master because it leaves you with no options. It leaves you with no freedom. You're bound as a servant. Or you can choose to serve God and seek his kingdom first and let him take care of the other stuff for you. Ultimately, what you choose will be shown by what you do. Your finances will indicate where your heart really is. Now, this may feel, and you may have chosen to tune me out the moment you heard that we were talking about money this morning because you think churches are always trying to get your money and pastors are just talking about money to get your money. So if you've tuned me out for one of those reasons or something along those lines, and you've been totally just disconnected this whole time, okay, fair enough, but can you come in just for a few minutes? Come back, okay? Because here's the thing that's really important for you to get today. Jesus does not care about your money. Jesus doesn't actually care about your money. You may notice his MO when he was walking on the earth. He wasn't really like trying to get a lot of funds to build some big cathedral. He actually just went along, kind of almost living like this poor guy who had these disciples around him. And they were supported by a few people, but ultimately he didn't really have a lot of luxuries. Jesus doesn't care about your money. He doesn't care about getting your money. That's not what he's about. He actually cares about you. He doesn't care about your money. He cares about you. The creator of the universe, who made heaven and earth, all the stars, our planet, the trees, the mountains, the water, every animal that lives, every plant that exists on the face of the earth, and created each person, doesn't need your paycheck. Do we get that point? Just making sure. Then I'll move on. If it's over your head, we're going to have to keep going for a little longer. He cares about you. And the reason he talks so much about money is because he gets how destructive it can be in our life when we choose to serve money instead of God. It will own you. It will own you. It's not a neutral thing where it's like, you know what, I don't have any masters in my life. You go on believing that. There is something that you're serving in your life. And God knows what a dead end it is to serve the material stuff of the world. It's all temporary. It doesn't last. You will not take it with you. no matter how nice that new car is in your driveway, it's not going to be waiting for you on the other side. And chances are, even if it was, it would have a chipped windshield. Jesus wants you to invest well, because when you do, you actually get to live well. And you get to experience calm and peace that comes with living in the kingdom of God. He cares about you. He wants you to live free. So, I don't want to just leave you here with a sense of, okay, so invest in the kingdom of God, don't invest in material stuff, and yay, God, everyone go home. We're not going to stop there, because some of you may be looking at this going, I don't even know how to get out of the hole I'm in right now. So, let's talk practically for a few minutes. Opportunities to help grow in the freedom that Jesus wants you to experience in your finances, okay? And this has really nothing to do with giving. This has everything to do with you winning with what you've been given, okay? Just so we're clear on that. So, opportunities to live free. Two video series I'm going to mention. As a church, we subscribe to something called Right Now Media. If you are on this, and I heard a mm-hmm over here, thank you, Krista. Some of our life groups use this. You can use it personally as well. All you have to do, if you don't have an account, is just say, hey, Dave, can we get on Right Now Media? And I'll say, hey, yeah, you can. Here's a sign-in for you. And it's a huge library of video resources of all kinds of different studies and whatnot. But on there's a number of them on finances, and I want to mention two specifically to you this morning. Number one, if you want to follow up on this conversation we've had this morning, the idea of where we invest, then Randy Alcorn has a series called The Treasure Principle. It's on this text and teaching on this. If you want to follow up with that, that's an opportunity for you. Check out The Treasure Principle on Right Now Media. Incidentally, if anyone was taking notes today, you might have noticed there was notes in the handout. This is 1, 2, 3 under opportunities if you want to fill them in. If you weren't, you know, I did underline stuff on the screen for you guys. And just saying. So that's opportunity number one. Opportunity number two, another video series, which we've actually shown in church before, which is another great way just to get the conversation going, some thoughts about biblical principles of how to actually win with money. And that's a series called Life, Money, Hope with Dave Ramsey. And you may have heard the name Dave Ramsey before. He's hilarious. He's engaging. Has some great teaching on how to handle the stuff we've been given. Okay? So Life, Money, Hope is another phenomenal series that you can check out. But honestly, I think the best option and the best opportunity we can give you right now is the third one. And that is, we're actually offering a seminar. Don mentioned it earlier today. It's been on the board. We've been putting it on the website, so it's been out there. A seminar on living financially free. And the reason I say this is, I think the best option is because it's face-to-face with someone. And I think face-to-face and actually entering into a conversation with someone generates a little more accountability and greater chance for change. So John, why don't you come on up? And I'm not going to come to you this time. I'm going to get you to come on up. And share with us a little bit about what the seminar is going to be about. I'm going to give you dates as he's coming. September 30th from 7 to 9 p.m. and October 1st, the Saturday, from 9 to 11 a.m. Two sessions. Take it away.
Well, for many of us, money is like ice cream. Only too much is enough. Disagreements about money are the leading cause of marriage breakdowns. So if you argue about money with your spouse, come out to this seminar and learn how to have a happier marriage. If you have a mortgage on your house, you should come to this seminar and learn how to take as many as 10 years off your payment schedule. If you drive a vehicle that's leased or not paid for, come to this seminar and learn how to drive a lot cheaper than you are now. If you have an outstanding balance on one or more credit cards, you should come to this seminar and learn how to systematically pay them off. If you don't have at least 3 months' wages set aside for an emergency, you need to come to this seminar. And that's not contradictory to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not at all.
If you buy lottery tickets or go to the casino, hoping to beat the odds, you really need to come to this seminar. I mean, the list could go on and on, but the point I'm trying to make is there should be something for everybody mm-hmm. at this seminar. The topics will include the principle of stewardship. Dave's already mentioned it. God owns it all. We're just his managers. The main topic will be getting out of debt. The first step to getting out of a hole is to quit digging. The first step to getting out of debt is to quit borrowing money. We'll be learning how to live a debt-free lifestyle through the principles of budgeting and money management. That may sound heavy, but it won't be. And we'll be dealing with investing for your future, both the kingdom on earth and our future kingdom in heaven. Mm-hmm. 20% of all Canadians think they will never get out of debt. If you're one of them, come on out and we'll teach you how to do it.
Thanks, John. That's awesome. Part of the reason, you know, I approached John to do this is John has taught on this before, but he has also invested himself before personally. He and Marianne have sat with couples and individuals who have been in holes that are so big, I don't think they could see out the top. They know how to walk this through with you. And so I'm going to start passing this around. This is the sign-up list for Living Financially Free, and we're going to start working it around the sanctuary. Here's the thing. When I was talking to John about this ahead of time, he said, you know, Dave, my experience in the past has been that the people who come are the people who don't need to hear it. And everyone who really needs to hear it doesn't come. Maybe out of fear of being seen or noticed or thought less of. It's a really lousy reason, don't you think? Come on out, because not only do we want you to be free, God wants you to be free. He wants you to live free. He loves you so desperately. He doesn't want you to live in bondage and slavery to something as petty as money for the rest of your life. He wants you to actually experience freedom. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's what Jesus came to proclaim, is freedom for the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He wants you to actually experience life. And he wanted it so bad for you that not only did he come to tell you about it and show you about it, he came to pay the debt that you owed to God because of the life that we live and the sin that's in our life. So Jesus gave up his life so that you could be free and have life. And he wants you to have that life in your finances. So I hope that you'll come on out. You will take some initiative. You'll take up one of these opportunities, or more than one of these opportunities. And you'll see the heart of compassion that God has for you through this.